Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Ira Jersey is with Credit Suisse. Ira, good morning.
Good morning.
Real anticipation about you being on the show this morning. Markets on the move. We're sort of numbed by the great equity markets. But let me go to your colleague, Rick Devereaux. And what does it mean to a fixed income guy to see a weak dollar and now the euro through 138, strong euro? What does that mean and signal about interest rates?
Well, I think it signals that you're going to continue to have easy monetary policy. And I think that's one of the drivers here of a lot of the moves in rates and a lot of the moves in the currency markets is just this idea that the Federal Reserve is going to be on hold for a long time. Now, you know, our base case scenario is the Federal Reserve may very well have the capacity to taper in the first quarter of next year, but the market seems to be even saying that the Federal Reserve is going to keep the pedal on the floor at least for another, say, 6 months or so. And you see that in a lot of the funding markets, like the repurchase agreement market or the two-year note, for example, trading at 30 basis points. All of these things are pointing to a very easy Fed.
Right. I want to clear this up, folks. Ira Jersey not speaking for his boss, Brady Dugan. Hear the Brady Dugan interview with Hans Nichols. That's out at Bloomberg TV Plus on the iPad. But Mr. Dugan, Mike McKee, in that conversation with Hans, voiced what Ira said, which is a taper earlier than expected, but yet the market looking for the tail of that taper to go out forever.
Yeah, well,
like forever.
At this point, well into 2014, it raises an interesting question, Ira. Now that we have had taper talk that boosted yields and data that have depressed yields, what happens the next time we start getting hints that we see a taper? Do people react in the same violent way that they did in June, or do they sit back and wait?
Well, we think that that we're still mostly priced for a taper, although not completely at this point. And you know, the Federal Reserve can't cry wolf again. So if there is any discussion about the timing of when the Federal Reserve is going to take their foot off the pedal, the market, I think, will give Chairwoman Yellen one chance at it. But if she, you know, again disappoints and fully pays for an option, I mean, the way that we look at this, the way that I look at this, is the Federal Reserve fully paid for the option to taper in September, and they didn't exercise that option. So because of that, people are wondering now, like, you know, should we pay attention to them and listen to them in the future? Did we make the mistake of believing them when they were talking about tapering in May and June?
Mike, jump in here, but let me ask Mike McKee this question. Will we see less dialogue from presidents and governors of the Fed because of what happened the last time around?
Well, not from presidents. They tend to speak their mind, but probably Fed officials. Not so much from what happened last time around, but because none of them are either on the Fed or able to talk anymore. We can talk more about that later. But it does raise the question, Ira, what then does the market respond to? Suppose we're past this government shutdown now, and the Red Sea parts, and Congress make some kind of budget deal that doesn't upset people, and all of a sudden you start seeing the economy, the numbers pick up. Do we see a major reaction there ahead of a taper as people start to think that maybe a rate rise is more likely?
You know, if I think, Mike, if the September data for payrolls was the cycle low, then you wind up going back and getting 175, 180,000 payrolls like we had basically the previous 2 years, then yes, I do think that the markets will take that to mean at some point in the first half of next year, if not indeed the first quarter, that the Federal Reserve is going to start taking their foot off the gas. And in doing that, you'll likely see 10-year notes up maybe even above 3% just on the expectation that once they start to taper, it'll be a little bit difficult for them to stop.
Ira, quickly here, are the markets correlated now? Are they linked together in step?
Well, the markets are certainly doing lately have been doing a QE trade. So that means you buy interest rates, so you buy treasuries and you buy equities, and that seems to be the trade that's going on. I think what's not participating as much as what happened last time is another sector that Rick Devereaux on our one of our strategists covers, and that's commodities. The commodities have not been participating in kind of the QE on trade as much as they had during previous bouts of asset purchases.
Ira, I look at the real yield and look at the 10-year yield. Well, I guess the good news is it's positive again, but not by much. Does the Fed really want a higher inflation-adjusted yield?
Well, I think the Federal Reserve would like to have the capacity to do that and basically have the economy strong enough that they really have to get real yields a little bit higher. So it depends on where you look at real yield. So if you look at the real yield, for example, on the very short end, which oftentimes is what the Federal Reserve has looked at historically, then real yields are actually very high. But real yields on, say, the 10-year, you suggest, are not particularly high. So it really depends on what you look at. And if you look at, you know, where the market's currently pricing for inflation to be 10 years from now, or I should say 5 years from now, where they think inflation's going to be, you're still only looking at kind of 2%-ish, 2.5% inflation. So something that we look at and we know is one of the inflation inputs that the Federal Reserve looks at is the five-year TIPS break even. So this is the inflation rate that the market expects where the market expects five-year inflation over 5 years to average 5 years from now. And that's currently 2.62%. So we're not expecting a significant uptick in inflation, but certainly over the next 5 years, the market is anticipating for inflation to be just a little bit higher. And I think that is something that the Federal Reserve thinks is a good thing, because that means that things like wages are going up. That means that you have generally a stronger economy. And therefore, they could, you know, hopefully 5 years from now, be hiking interest rates a little bit to make sure that those inflation rates don't get much higher than that.
Certainly the wage part they would like to see rise some, although it's interesting because we talk about real yields in a historical fashion in terms of the Fed, but at this point there doesn't seem to be any loan demand whether or not you have affordable yield. But I do want to ask, a lot of people talk about the Fed and its influence on the bond market when they do start tapering, and if they do sell any of their portfolio, what does that do to the U.S. ability to sell treasuries to finance its debt? Do we just shift buying to other people, or are you concerned that, you know, down the road a few years, China is not going to buy anymore because they're worried about this sort of stuff we just went through? How does this all shake out?
Well, I think one of the reasons why we had such a dramatic sell-off earlier this year, and why we'll probably see higher yields as the Federal Reserve takes out less duration, the Federal Reserve right now is not buying short securities, right? So they're not buying twos and threes; they're buying a few fives, but mostly they're buying a lot of longer maturity bonds. So people are going to probably need to reprice those securities. So there is going to be a price for them. It's not going to be here. It'll likely be somewhere, you know, we think 3-ish percent, maybe 3.25%. And in order for the Treasury Department to continue to sell securities at the pace that they are with a less aggressive Fed, the price is the mechanism to ensure that they'll be able to sell. We think that there still will be enough demand, and there'll be probably a fair bit of demand when we breach 3%. It'll just be a matter of you know, exactly where between 3-3.25%, 3.5% that we end up there. We have to recall too that deficits are getting much better, and over the next couple of years, the Federal Reserve the Treasury Department has actually cut the amount of 2-year notes and 3-year notes that it's been issuing, and I think that's been pretty quiet and it hasn't really been picked up that much in the media. But because deficits are so much better, they have been reducing issuance. Bill supply is lower today than it was 6 months ago. Again, they're cutting 2-year issuance, cutting 3-year issuance. We think that they're going to continue to cut next year on improved deficits, both twos, threes, and I think maybe even fives next year.
Well, we see, we had Lee Buckheit, who's a sovereign debt restructuring expert, on a couple weeks ago, and he said that, you know, after 2011, there was a what you could call a stupidity premium built into the yield on U.S. bonds. Are we going to see that, you know, in this 3 to 3.5% range? Is there any way to tell what the knock-on effect is going to be to measure it?
Yeah, that's more the art and science. I mean, Carolyn Baum just said that you know, we have to stop thinking of economics as a science, and as an economist, I have to say I've always thought of it as a social science, akin to political science, as opposed to a natural science. And the art in that social science is, you know, modeling what we think the inputs to rates are. So, for example, in our model, we suggest that QE3 was worth about 35 to 40 basis points in the 10-year yield, and that's been mostly priced out now. There is still an expectation that sometime in the next 6 to 9 months that you're going to get paper. And because of that, we think, and our model suggests that if the economy develops the way that the consensus currently looks, we're going to be at 3.5% by the end of next year.
The coupon now is a 2.49. You've been brilliant on this, Ira, of the idea of opportunities for the yield to drive low. What should our listeners do if we go down another 10 beeps and really get down to where no one thought we would be back in the day of 3%? How do you tactically respond to this, again, low yield reality?
Well, our model portfolio, where we continue to be underweight duration, it hasn't worked out well the last couple of weeks, but we still would be selling into strength here. So if we get down toward what we would consider a bit of an overshoot, like a pessimistic overshoot, where we're at 2.25, for example, we would be lightening up on duration. So we'd lighten up on things like 10-year treasuries. We probably would be buying 5-year corporates instead of 10-year corporates, as an example. But, you know, we still think that fixed income is an important part of a balanced portfolio. It's just a matter of you know, how much of it do you own,
right,
and how much risk of interest rate risk do you own versus how much risk you have in, say, equities.
Fascinating. Ira Jersey, thank you for the update.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.